hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We kick off today's big show, literally connected halfway around the world to New Zealand. And you may ask yourself, why? Well, because we can. The marvels of modern technology have connected us with Roz, the diving world traveler that she is literally in New Zealand and is connected with Scuba Radio to kick off the show today. Roz, how are you?
Hello, Greg. I'm fine. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. So, you know, you were just here in Florida, in Orlando, just a few weeks ago, or not even a week ago, I think, and then you flew halfway around the planet. What's going on with you?
Yes, I was over there for about 10 days ago for a show in Fort Lauderdale called The Blue Wild.
Right.
And this is primarily a freediving show. With some scuba thrown into it. And it was really interesting. There were a lot of young faces there, a lot of women there, and very passionate, motivated people, obviously having a lot of fun in the water. It was great to be there and pick up the vibe and pick up some safety tips as well.
Yeah. Now, are you a big free diver yourself, Roz? Or because I know you do this whole technical diving thing. You're into the rebreather stuff. But is free diving part of your repertoire as far as underwater activity, or is that something you just strive to improve on in the future?
It's something I strive to improve on in the future. I've only done a little bit of it. So I did a free diving course in England out of Plymouth on the south coast. And by the end of it, we were free diving down to about 14 meters. And the freedom of being able to fin about the seabed was so liberating, not having scuba on. It was exceptionally attractive. And I can see why people can get hooked into it quite easily. But I've only done a very, very small amount of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went through the course to the very end, but I didn't finish the course. I got to go down there with Martin Stepanek in Fort Lauderdale and finish up some of that stuff. And maybe I'll get down a little deep as well. I think I've been able to hold my breath in a pool with some training for 3 minutes and 5 seconds. What about you? Have you even tested that thing or gone through any of that training at all?
Never done any static apnea whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to do this on your own, but under supervision and with the training of Martin and his gang, they actually brought me up to 305, which I couldn't believe that I was able to hold my breath for that long. And they say if you can do that in the pool for 305, that at depth, you should be able to do about half of that. So, you know, a minute 30 free dive down to 50, 60 feet. I would be loving that. That would be awesome.
No, I can believe that. That is impressive. The thing with the Fort Lauderdale show, the Blue Wild, was that safety, absolute safety, was hammered in every single talk. You know, always dive with a buddy, look after each other, watch each other. That was fascinating how the safety was talked about the whole time.
Yeah,
it was good to hear.
They take it very seriously, and it is something you don't want to just mess around with on your own. Get proper training, just like scuba diving. Free diving is a skill that you need to master under the appropriate supervision. All right, so let's talk about where you're at. You're in New Zealand after attending the Blue Wild show here in Fort Lauderdale. What happened that sent you all across, I mean, far, you know, halfway around the planet, for Christ's sakes? What's going on with you?
It's quite simple. It's called Oztech. Every 2 years in Sydney, there's an advanced and technical diving conference and exhibition called Oztech. And David Strike, the organiser, pulls together some of the world's best explorers and diving physicians like Simon Mitchell, who spoke at Rebreather Forum 3 last year.
Right. Did this just happen to coincide with the release of the Great and Powerful Oz movie? Oztech, Oz movie, meh. You know, because that's being released in the States this weekend. Same weekend.
No, Oztech's next weekend, actually.
Oh, it's not? Okay, all right. Well, they didn't time it right then, I guess. They were off a weekend, but close enough for me. All right, so Oztech is, so what are they focused on? Is it technical diving type stuff or what?
It's advanced in tech, and okay. You get people talking about techniques. You get people talking about expeditions they go and do, like diving in Antarctic ice caves, going and diving Cocklebiddy Caves in Australia. Hmm. The latest on unconscious diver recovery, that kind of thing. And it's 2 days with talks and an exhibition. And then on the Sunday night, there's a gala dinner in Sydney Harbour, which is glorious. And you get to meet up with friends and meet some famous names. And it's all good fun. So
nice.
It's next weekend. So
okay.
I've come out earlier and I flew into Middle Earth yesterday because I'm now in New Zealand and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm sat on the deck in my pyjamas. And there is a black velvet sky above me and the stars. I wish you could see the stars, Greg. They are beautiful. You can see the Milky Way and there's this glitter of diamonds across this black velvet sky.
Nice.
And there's a brand new moon in the sky and it's hanging at a strange orientation. It looks like a big narrow smile in the sky.
Well, you know, maybe my question shouldn't have been why... Or should not have been, why are you in New Zealand halfway around the planet? It should have been, why are you up at 5 o'clock in the morning? What's going on?
Jet lag, mate.
Oh, jet lag, of course. Of course. But at least you got a starry night there in New Zealand to occupy your time. That's nice. And you're listening to Scuba Radio, so there you go.
Yeah. What else could I do at 5 o'clock
That's
in the morning?
Right. Might as well make the best of that time. So do you hope to jump in the water before this Oztech conference there in New Zealand and see what they have to offer the diving in the general vicinity, or what are you planning?
Yes, jumping later on this morning. I'm up at Tutukaka,
You're where?
Tutukaka.
There's a Lake Titicaca in New Zealand, just like we have here in the States?
It's T-U-T, Tut, and it's a village, a town.
Oh, it's a town. Okay.
Tutukaka.
Wow. Well, a very popular name.
we're about 3 hours north of Auckland.
Okay.
And I'm going to go and dive something called Poor Nights. Now, these are the remains of a volcano that's eroded, and the name came because it resembles a Poor Nights pudding. A bread-based dish popular from when the Europeans came and found this place.
All right, wait a minute. So you're going to dive in something that is like bread pudding? That's like a mucky kind of gooey mess? Or am I kind of confused?
It resembles the shape of.
Oh, okay. That's just the shape of the I don't know.
Of the pudding. Yes.
Okay. It's kind of a bumpy, maybe. I don't know. What does the Yeah. What kind of pudding? Bread pudding? What kind of pudding are we talking about exactly?
I'm guessing it was something like a summer pudding, or it doesn't. I got told it just resembled a bread shaped dish at the time.
Interesting.
Which was popular by the Europeans.
Okay. All right. So you dive into this mess, and what do they tell you you might see?
Apparently, it's a beautiful combination of kelp diving with tropical fish.
Oh, okay, okay. So that would give it that soupy kind of bread pudding feel. I get it. So
no, it's about 40 meters vis, apparently. I've been told it's really, really good visibility.
Okay, and then is it like a kelp forest or sporadic or what? I mean, what kind of diving do you think it might be?
I believe that it's about 1 meter high kelp, and they have mantas turn up sometimes.
Wow,
they have
nice.
They have turtles. They've had a couple of bronze whaler sharks around here in the last few days.
Sweet. So this could be, in what kind of water temp? You said the viz is going to be really nice, but what kind of water temp are we talking?
Oh, 20 degrees centigrade.
Okay.
So that's going to be 40, 56, what, 70 degrees Fahrenheit?
Okay. Well, then that's not terrible. That's pretty good. That's actually really nice. So will this be a boat dive then, or will you go off the shore? Okay. So you're going to head off on a boat and dive these New Zealand waters and see all these critters. That is the goal, at least. Rebreather, open circuit, free diving. What are you doing?
Twin sets, so on doubles. Double 80s.
Doubles in Lake Titicaca. You need two. I mean, it sounds like, at least. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Mon nom est Julie et je suis une plongeuse de Saint-Barth. Okay, for my American fan, my name is Julie and I'm a diver from Saint-Barth. J'aime énormément la scuba radio. I love scuba radio. Especially, what's your name again?
Greg, the dive master.
And especially Greg, the, how would you say, dive master.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Yeah, 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 yeah. Feel it, mama.
Yes, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know, first it's New Zealand, now it's, well, it's North Carolina. That's where Terry Huber is. She is on Scuba Radio. She is a travel specialist for which company, Terry? Help me out here.
Deep Blue Adventures.
Deep Blue Adventures. She just basically will tell you where to go. She tells me where to go every time I see her, but it's not really diving related sometimes. But great gal, travels the world, and then shares that expertise with folks that are looking to book a travel adventure of their own. So, you're in your home base of operations today, and it's a little cool, I guess, right, Terry?
Yeah, unfortunately. I need somewhere to go.
Well, we'll get to that in just a bit. Let's talk about where you've been, because you just came back from the Philippines, and I want to learn a little bit more about this destination as a place that I haven't been, and to find out whether or not I should go. So fill me in. What's going on in the Philippines?
There's no reason not to go to the Philippines. The place is just amazing. Tons of critters. The people are the kindest people that you'll ever meet. The Atlantis resorts go above and beyond to take care of clients. And since I've started sending people to Atlantis, I've got groups going back for a third time this year with 30-plus people each group.
Nice. So what kind of diving can you expect if you go to that part of the world?
Well, they offer three different itineraries. Well, three different areas, I should say. They have the land-based in Puerto Galera. They have a land-based in Dumaguete. Plus, they have the amazing, the Azores Live Aboard, which does three or four different itineraries throughout the year. Of course, the boat gets you to further out places such as the, you know, famed Tubitaha Reef, which is larger pelagics. It's straight drop-off walls.
Nice.
You know, beautiful corals. And then they do up a whole itinerary, which is the one that I did. And you make it over to Cebu, Malapascua, and Balikasag. And I had the pleasure of being in the water with three 35-foot whale sharks in Cebu last year.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So are we talking like, I mean, right next to you where you're taking pictures and the whole thing, or what's going on?
I mean, as in arms distance.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've been diving since 1984 and had never seen a whale shark. So last year was my first time.
Really? So you marked that one off the list, times three, evidently.
Yes, times three.
You got to love that. So is the water warm? Is it like bath water type diving, or is it on the chilly side?
Pretty much. I mean, in the wintertime, you know, you're still maybe 79, 80.
Oh, okay. I can live with that. That's good.
Yeah. So
that's warm enough for us warm water wusses, isn't it?
Exactly.
All right. So whale sharks, big pelagics, this reef. By the way, how far offshore are you talking? You got to go off in the boat. Is it a long boat ride or 30 minutes? What are we talking about?
No. When you're on the live aboard?
Well, to that one reef that you said was very popular. What was it again?
That's the Tubitaha itinerary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tubitaha is... It's pretty isolated out there, so, mm-hmm. you know, very, you know, not populated.
Right.
So you get excellent diving and encounters out in Tubitaha, whereas the resorts, your boat rides are 5 to 10 minutes from the resort, which is fabulous. So you're not sitting there baking in the sun, and you come back to the resort after each dive.
I see. Okay. And what you're talking about, this is that Atlantis resort, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, our good buddy John Boozer is one of the reps for that. I've seen him at the shows. I've talked to him. I've seen these pictures. And this resort looks really, really nice. So tell me a little bit more about the accommodations.
Oh, the resorts are fabulous. And my suggestion is to do both resorts on a combo trip. Because both resorts, even though they are owned and operated by the same people and the same level of service, they're two very different resorts. Whereas Puerto Galera is in Sabang, which is kind of a busy kind of port area, and there's a small city, I can't even call it a city, it's just like a kind of like a village, but it's very busy
mm-hmm.
with boats coming in and out.
Right.
And the resort is built on the side of a hill. So you've got the rooms, they call them Flintstone rooms, because if you can imagine, you know, the Flintstone house, that's the kind of rooms there. It's very, very cool.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. That doesn't sound very luxurious when you describe it like that. Wilma!
No, I mean, that's what they call the rooms, because you'd have to go online and see the pictures. It's the architecture more than anything.
Okay. It just has kind of like a stone-type wall-type look to it, maybe, or something?
Curvy. And it's very, very cool. But, it's more of a busy-type area because of where that resort is located in Sabang. And whereas Dumaguete is on a private beach, it's the only people that are there are the resort people, and so it's a little bit quieter, and it's not like you walk out of Porta Galera and you can go to a different bar or, you know, go walking around.
Right.
Because Jimmy Getty is much quieter.
Okay. So that's a place you go to get away from it all. The other place you might have a little bit more of a cultural experience with the folks in the area.
Yes, absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely. And the diving, you know, in Porta Galera, it's mixed. You've got amazing critters. Stuff that I didn't even see in Lembe. And if you've got some walls, you've got some reefs, whereas Jimmy Getty is more critters than anything.
Okay. Well, that sounds quite appealing. How about as far as getting there? Is it difficult to get to that part of the world, or is it fairly easy?
It's fairly easy because you've got so many flights flying into and out of Manila. So say if you're on the West Coast, you can get to Manila from LAX on Philippine Air direct. Might stop for a refuel, or you don't even get off the plane. So you don't have to worry about bags or anything because you're on one plane for that time.
Cool. Okay. Well, that sounds doable. And maybe we can tag that on to the Long Beach show when we head out there to do that dive show. That could be a nice little side trip, couldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. They're running some really good specials right now for the combo trips. There's a trip with one of the owners on the Azores to Tubataha, and they're offering that at a discount of 25% off.
So, all right. Well, put in a good word for us, or basically what I'm saying is lie, and yeah. See if they'll let us come along. Who knows? We might have to add that one to the list. Appealing.
I can certainly get you out there.
And the website for your biz is once again what?
DeepBlueAdventures.com.
There you go. All right. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Hey, you know, I got a text from Roz in New Zealand, and she said, Greg, hey, why don't you give it a little shout-out to this website, divewise.org. And I'm going to do that because basically the website is about being safe when it comes to free diving. Using the buddy system, as easy as it sounds, free diving, you know, snorkeling. There are skills, especially when it comes to breath hold diving and going at depth. You got to be very, very careful. But with this shallow water blackout stuff, which is bad news, trust me. And that's why you always dive or free dive with a buddy, just like you would on open circuit diving. Okay. So, divewise.org, check it out. A lot of safety elements and tips there on that website that might help you in that regard. Now, we've given you a few places to go today. In New Zealand to try out the diving there, like Roz, or Terry being in the Philippines. Those are both nice places to visit. But why not come with us? Now, I can guarantee you will have a ball, whether we do any diving or not, on the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise scheduled for January 2014 in Saba, St. Kitts, with Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. This will blow your mind because we're going to be on board with Barry and Ruth from Dive Training Magazine to shoot a cover for Dive Training if things go well and the conditions, you know, work with us a little bit that week, where they shoot the cover of Dive Training from the front angle, and then you flip the page and you see the reverse angle. There's a lot that goes into these photo shoots, and we're going to actually try to orchestrate one that week while on board. The Scuba Cowboy is going to be on board with us. We have mermaids, and of course, we're going to be doing a scuba radio broadcast. And oh, let's not forget, the diving is spectacular in that part of the world. I've done that itinerary 3 or 4 times now, and I can tell you that it will blow your mind, and it is right there with some of the best diving in the world. Once again, that's January 2014, the 18th through the 25th. Call Explorer Ventures, 1-800-322-3577, or go to explorerventures.com and join us for the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio safety tip number 33. Remember, everything underwater appears about 25% larger when looking through a dive mask.
Hey, this is great, man.
Stop looking there. Stop looking there.
I want to be just like you.
Stop that!
I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Ooh, you're sick. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. I have a question today, Nick. I think you're just the man to answer it to.
Well, I'll do my best.
What if you were the dive leader of a group and you had to coordinate an emergency evacuation? What would a person have to know?
Wow, what a great question. That's a scenario everyone hopes they never face, but it's a good thing to be prepared to do. Fortunately, there are protocols you can follow just like any other emergency situation. And I'll bet as a dive leader yourself, you already know them.
Well, I hope so, but let's go through it just the same.
Okay, so let's say you had a diver surface in need of assistance. What's the first thing you would do?
Assess the scene, make sure there's no danger to me, and help get the diver out of the water.
Good. You are absolutely right that the first step is to assess the scene. And a lot of folks forget that in the heat of the moment and end up putting themselves in danger. You really do not want to do anything that would put yourself into harm's way, and it can result in two emergencies to deal with instead of one. So you've assessed the scene. What's next?
Assess the diver in distress. And provide basic life support and first aid. Then I'd either dispatch someone to contact emergency services, or if I'm alone, contact them myself.
Excellent. Top of the class. Now let's say an evacuation will be necessary.
Are we on land or out at sea?
Let's start with a land-based scenario.
Am I alone or with a group?
You have other divers on site.
Okay. I've had someone call EMS, so I'm going to have the second person call Dan to help with the assistance. Once we get help mobilized, I'm going to have someone meet the emergency crew at a designated point while I remain with the diver and continue providing first aid.
That is exactly right. Communication is the key in an emergency situation. So when you're calling EMS and Dan, it's important not only to let them know where you are, but where the rendezvous point will be. If you're on a site that can't be accessed by emergency services, you'll need to coordinate with them on how the diver will be transported to a pickup site.
But if you have the option of not moving the diver,
then it's best to stay where you are and let EMS come to you.
Now, what if I'm alone?
Stay in contact with EMS or Dan, whoever you have on the line. Again, communication is key, so stay in contact as much as possible while providing whatever care is needed. If you are alone, you're going to be dealing with a lot all at once. So just remember to tend to the injured person. If the diver needs immediate assistance, whether it's CPR or some other form of first aid, it's okay to tell the emergency contact what's going on and that you'll have to put the phone down. Just keep the connection if at all possible.
I'm also hoping they'll provide some guidance.
And they will. When you contact EMS or Dan, you're contacting experts in dealing with emergency situations. They will be a resource in guiding you through the situation. If nothing else, having them involved reminds you that you are not alone.
Which can mean a lot and keep you from panicking.
Yes, it can.
So what if the emergency isn't at a land-based site? What if you're out at sea?
Any protocol passengers will have to follow on a boat should be established long before it leaves the dock. If you're traveling with a captain and crew, it's unlikely you'll have to take the lead, but you should be prepared to do that just the same.
Okay, let's say I have to take the lead.
The primary steps remain the same. administer basic first aid, and contact emergency services. If you're out at sea, this is likely to be either Dan or the Coast Guard.
How are divers usually evacuated at sea?
It really depends on the situation and the resources at hand. It may be determined that it's best to head the boat back to shore, if conditions are favorable and if that's the fastest way to go. If the emergency dictates it and the resources are available, a watercraft rendezvous or an airlift evacuation may be called into action.
So if you have to coordinate an airlift evacuation?
The first thing you'll have to remember is that the coordination itself will likely be done by the authorities. Whether that's the Coast Guard or the transport Dan arranges. You'll be given instructions on where to be, what steps to take, and what preparations need to be made.
What kind of preparations?
When you're waiting for a helicopter to arrive, you'll need to make sure anything tall that can get in the way is taken down. That may include radar and fishing equipment. The only exception would be equipment that keeps you in contact with the emergency crew, because you'll need to be able to talk to them. Make sure all loose objects are stored so nothing blows around and causes additional injuries.
What about the diver?
Keep the diver as stable as possible. If you're performing CPR, you may not be able to complete the lift, as the time required to complete it is too long an interruption. But assuming the diver is breathing spontaneously on his or her own, keep them quiet and stable, and put them in a personal flotation device. It's strictly a precaution, but an important one. Gather any important medical information as well as anything else, including things like dive profiles and computers, that might be helpful to those providing medical care following the evacuation.
And once the helicopter arrives?
Stay in communication with them and follow their directions. They'll let you know where they need the boat to be, what speed might need to be maintained, and any steps they need you to take.
Who loads the diver into the basket they send down?
In some instances, it might be you. Remember to let the basket touch the deck of the boat before you touch it. A lot of static electricity can be generated as it descends, and it's best to let it discharge first. Move the diver as little as possible as you transfer them into the basket, and once in, secure them, including the oxygen unit and other information you've gathered, and signal the helicopter crew when the basket is ready to raise.
You send the oxygen unit?
Remember that an airlift crew does not perform rescues for divers only, so they may not necessarily have equipment specific to diving injuries. Maybe they have what they needed, maybe not, but it's easy to help on that front.
Will you have to go with them?
That's a conversation to have with a helicopter captain as you're coordinating the rescue. The crew is likely trained in first aid, but if they're unfamiliar with diving injuries, they may agree to have you or some other qualified person come with them. But again, this is a decision for the captain to make, as there are other factors he'll have to take into account. So follow his lead.
Is there anything else we need to know?
Just a reminder that emergency and evacuation protocols should be part of your emergency action plan.
Something I have with me on every dive.
See? You do know what you're doing. I knew it all the time.
We all hope we'll never have to deal with an emergency situation. But in the event you have to oversee one, know what to do. Include evacuation as part of your emergency action plan. And remember that communication is the key. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
On the phone with me is Big Wave Dave. He's checking in from the Be a Diver pool tour. And Dave, where are you this week, buddy?
We're in Washington, D.C., you know, battling all the sequester stuff.
Nice. Okay, well, yeah, is that making things more difficult for you, or being that all these people are out of work, hey, what else are they going to do? Let's go swimming.
No, hey, this the show, everybody wants to go somewhere on vacation, you know, and the average person just wants to move on with life.
Yes. You know, you can't tour the White House. Why not jump into the Be a Diver pool, right?
That's right. Hey, it's free, and once you try it here, you can go get certified and tour the world.
Exactly. Now, what is this event going on in D.C. this weekend? What is it exactly?
It's a travel and adventure travel sports expo, so there's stuff for anywhere from North Carolina to Africa to Europe to Indonesia. So
all right.
Any place you want to go.
So, and it's not just diving. This is any kind of outdoor travel. And
yeah, that's correct. I mean, you're next to me, besides the scuba pool, there's a fly fishing pool. So
very nice. They're not doing that in the pool, though, are they?
No. This is more of a state casting kind of class. So, yeah, the idea is just to show people what they can do on their vacation like the pool does all the time.
Nice. All right, so you're going to pump a bunch of folks in there and maybe get a reporter or two from the local news channels if things go well, I hope, I guess, right?
Well, actually, on Friday morning, we had a local Fox station out here doing some filming, and we just got done with two talk radio personalities from the local area getting in the pool and tried it, and the one girl said, "Where can I sign up right now? I'm sold."
That's awesome. Yeah, by the way, have you ever had any of those folks come in and do it, and then they just didn't like it? It just wasn't for them? Or
in a very, very rare occasion. I've had people that were extremely nervous getting in and got out, loved it so much, they went and took swimming lessons, and when they actually stopped out the next year when it was in the local town for a show and showed me their certification card.
Yeah. Interesting. So. Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't please everybody. Every once in a while, could maybe one in a thousand, you could have someone who just for some reason has some kind of phobia or something. But
yeah. It just doesn't like any sport. You know, you try right. It. Yeah, it's not for me. That's fine.
Yeah, and that's the perfect thing about the Be a Diver pool. It gives you an opportunity to give it a go. And they basically bring the pool to you, so you can go to beadiver.com, find out where Big Wave Dave's going to be next. And join them there for a little Discover Scuba experience there in the Be a Diver pool. And who knows, it could lead to some other stuff. And if you're a diver, you got several things for folks to play with as well, right?
Hey, correct. I mean, if a diver wants to try the latest Guardian mask from OTS, we have that available. We've got some of the underwater dive toys, some of the latest BCDs from such companies such as Tusha, Aqualung. And best of all, we've got our information on going down to the island of Bonaire.
And they can get more information at beadiver.com, I guess, right?
Check it out. They'll see where I'm going. I got a busy schedule coming up this summer.
There you go. All right, more coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gene, completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. On the phone with me, the hardest working man in the dive industry, Neil Watson, is on the road to the Mosquito Beaters Conference. No, I don't know. What is this exactly, Neil? What are you doing?
Well, you know, I was raised in Cocoa, Florida, back before there was, you know, the space program or any of that stuff.
Right.
And for like the past 30 or 40 years, they have a reunion of all the old timers that were there back in the 40s and 50s and even early 60s. And they do a function, you know, at a civic center, and you know, get 400 or 500 of the old timers there. Everybody brings a covered plate, and, you know, it's not an open bar, it's not a cash bar, it's leave whatever you want bar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you consider the age, you know, the drink of choice is vodka and prune juice, but you know, it's a pretty cool event, you know.
Hey, whatever gets you there and keeps you regular, hey, it can't be that bad, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You don't go there to see who's there. You go there to see who's left.
Okay. All right. Well, I have no doubt that Mr. Neil Watson will be the life of the party, as he always is at every event he attends. So the Mosquito Beaters have quite an evening in store for them this evening. But let's talk about Bimini, because I know you were just over there, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I want to delve into this a little bit more about the sharks that are migrating through Bimini. Well, and through South Florida, for that matter. I mean, yesterday there was reports on the news that the schools of, I don't know what kind of sharks are just off the coast of South Florida, but I guess some of that, is that happening in Bimini as well, or what?
Not that kind of migration. The migration that's going through Florida actually happens every year, and it's 99% black tips and spinner sharks.
Okay.
And they got not hundreds, but thousands of them that migrate through. The phenomena that we have is hammerheads, great hammerheads. And this is a deal that was developed over the last 10 or 12 years by this great couple that actually run the activity center at the Bimini Sands, where, you know, our dive shop is at.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to work at the shark lab, and they started baiting right out off in front of the hotel, like in 20 feet of sand. And over the years, they've developed this migration, and they'll get 8 or 10 great hammerheads in there at a time. And it's just a photographer's dream come true. I mean, I lived in Bimini for 10 years and then dove another 10 years, and I might have seen a total of a half a dozen great hammerheads out of that whole time, you know, and that was on the wall and not up that close. But, I mean, photographers are getting right on top of them. I think we're doing a little shoot for Shark Week in a couple of weeks over there.
Wow.
But it's really cool. And it's primarily January, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already got half of that period almost booked for next year, because we limit it, you know, to 10 people on the boat, because we don't overcrowd it, and it's all photographers. But it's really an amazing phenomena. And, you know, Caribbean reef sharks are common, and black tips and nurse sharks, and you even have the tiger sharks and lemons up off the northern Bahamas. But this hammerhead experience is something completely new. I mean, normally you have to go to Cocos or Galapagos, you know, to get the kind of shots that they're getting with these great hammerheads right in front of our hotel.
Yeah, and these are big animals, though. These great hammerheads, we're not talking about little 7-8 foot hammerhead sharks. These can be like 14-15 foot or something crazy,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. This is not the scallop hammerhead. This is the great, this is the big guys. This is the 12, 14, up to 16 feet, you know. I mean, it gets your attention. They are impressive.
So how is this dive conducted exactly? I mean, is it like from the surface and you're snorkeling, or what's going on exactly?
No, it's diving. It's bait intensive and kind of staff intensive. We, you know, we anchor on the site and start chumming, and we'll chum all day, and the divers can be down 2 or 3 hours to get them in. I mean, it's not like, you know, your chum ball or your typical Caribbean reef shark, where you go out there and the sharks are there, you throw some food in the water and they're all over the place. You know, you have to chum, and sometimes it'll take 30 minutes, sometimes it'll take a couple hours, but you know, it's about a 95% success rate on getting them, you know, especially if you're there 4 or 5 days, which,
yeah,
most of the photographers come for 5 days, 5 to 7 days of diving, and a couple, Grant and Katie, that are an amazing couple. And like I say, they developed this thing, and that's our new logo is Bahamas Hammer Headquarters.
Hammer Headquarters, okay.
You like it?
Yeah.
Set in stone.
The Hammer Headquarters.
Let's get the feedback.
Copyright it now. Trademark that puppy. You got a winner, I think. Great hammerheads in Bimini. Sounds like one more of many reasons to visit the Bimini Sands and go dive there with Neil Watson Underseas Adventure, or it's Bimini Underseas Adventure. Is that right?
Nope, it's Bimini Scuba Center, Neil Watson Bimini Scuba Center, and you'll be diving with one of the Neil Watsons or possibly both of the Neil Watsons, because Neil Watson Jr. runs the operation over there, and I'm trying to spend about half of my time over there. I love it over there.
Yes, well, and I do too, and that's an added treat to have a couple generations of Watsons. Assuming you'll live through it, it is something you will want to share with your grandchildren at your next mosquito beater conference or something.
On top of that, later tonight is my 55th high school reunion.
Oh, boy. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of prune juice and vodka being poured. Just
mucho,
a guess.
Mucho man.
All right. Hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters? Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.